clench your anus and get ready. It's time for another episode of Shootin' It. Welcome back to Shootin' It, Mike. How's it going?
You know when you feel you like use a new toothpaste?
No.
Okay. Well, I just did, and it's fantastic, and my mouth just feels amazing.
So it really made your morning is what you're trying to say.
No, I swear to God it did, because this morning my mouth was dry and like it just felt like I had like cotton in it, but like moldy cotton.
Did it have that cat shit smell to it?
Yeah, it had that too. Oh. And I was like, I need to go fucking just drain all this out, just clean it out, rinse it out. And then I just used this new toothpaste, and I was like, Jesus fucking Christ, this is amazing. And then I have like a tongue brush with like hard bristles, and I brush my tongue after I brush my teeth.
Have you seen those tongue shavers where I think it's like a prickly little blade or something?
Yeah, that's what I kind of have.
Interesting. I don't know. I don't have one of those. I've never tried one of those, but I would definitely be open to buying one.
Oh my God, get it, because you get that, you don't have bad breath anymore. You really don't.
I believe
Well, it's just like, because all the bad breath comes from the tongue. I think, yeah, pretty much, right? All that nasty shit's on there.
Yeah, you just have a constantly moist piece of fucking tissue in your mouth that absorbs everything. Of course it's going to stink. I mean, of course you're going to get bacteria in your mouth, on your teeth, in your gums. You know, it's not going to be great, but the tongue, I'm pretty sure that absorbs all that nastiness.
You know what's the worst is like you have like a girlfriend and you eat her out, and let's just say she gets very wet. She's one of those girls who gets very wet.
Yeah, she loves to swim at the Y.
Yeah, she loves swimming so much. And you have a beard, and you're eating her out a lot.
I don't relate to this at all.
Okay. Well, anyway, the wetness gets in your beard, like all that, all her cum just gets in your beard, and it's in your mouth. And then let's say you make her cum, and then you both pass out and go to bed. And then you wake up the next morning with just like the fucking most rough, coarse hair beard, and it's just matted, and your mouth is just like it's just the fucking worst.
Yeah, that doesn't sound great. I can't say that I am envious of anyone put in that position.
I never, you know how many times I've like gone up from there and then just like wipe my mustache like a fucking like windshield wipers, just thump thump, like, all right, back in place.
Since we're talking about romance and relationships, that brings us to today's guest, who is Magnus Irvin.
Is he from Sweden or Switzerland? Where is he from again?
He's from the United Kingdom. He's in England.
Oh, his name is Magnus.
You think that's his real name? I feel like that might be a stage name, a Malkievich, if you will.
Malkievich.
For those who aren't familiar, right off the bat, this guy is well known, or his product is well known, Edible Anus. You can go to edibleanus.com. Maybe we can get a sponsor out of this. I don't know.
I want to. I fucking want one. I saw some. They were like $400. I want those.
Yeah, these don't come cheap. Essentially, what he is known for is taking molds of people's assholes and turning it into chocolate, which is just, that speaks for itself.
Did you even get them? Like, it was just random. You texted me the other day, like, Tuesday, you're going to have the edible asshole guy on the show. I was like, what? Like, it's just writer, poetry person, edible asshole, director.
I was doing some research on him today, too, for last minute questions and whatnot.
Screenwriter.
The Huffington Post covered him at one point and his business, but he refused an interview.
But he wants this show, okay?
He wanted us, yeah. He accepted us.
Has he done like any other interviews?
I looked him up on iTunes. He has never done a podcast before. I don't know if he's done other interviews. I did see one video one for like a London-based website, but aside from that, I have not come across his name very often.
Probably has like commercials and stuff over there in the UK, maybe. I'm not sure.
How do you market that on television,
though? Well, we can ask him that, Jamie. Let's get him.
All right, yeah. You got a good point there. Okay. We're going to be calling him up in 7 minutes. So until then, what has been going on with you? I know we're talking about relationships and, you know, his brand is very popular around Valentine's Day.
Yes.
Well, how's your love life been? I know you've been balancing a number of different girls. You do have plans to go to Florida later in March, actually. But what's new? What's going on?
Friday, going to Florida. Not that much. It's the same old thing. It's exactly the same. We bought a new weed. That's the
new. A new strain of weed?
Yes, a new strain of weed.
Oh, my.
Yeah, we like it. It's called Trainwreck. That's all I have to share. Other than that, it's been pretty much the same.
What I want to know is, though, how have the other relationships been, aside from your girl in Florida?
They've been fine.
Have you told them about going to Florida to meet some girl, and have they been cool with that?
Why would I tell anybody anything like that?
I don't know. I mean, if any of them have listened to the podcast, then they should.
I don't think any of them listen to the podcast, other than maybe like once or twice.
And to think all of that is made possible through the magic of Tumblr.
It really is. Like, wow, has this fucking website helped me a lot?
It is so easy being young and single in 2015.
It really is. I mean, there's no except for people who are like virgins. In your like 20s, like one,
you there's have to, no reason why no, anyone should be a virgin in today's society. There's no reason.
You have to have like Asperger's or you something. Have, some sort of like,
no, there's ethical. Even there's specialty groups for that too. You have dating apps, you have fucking all kinds of different specialty websites. I was gonna say webbing sites. Yes, webbing sites.
It's a new type of porn.
When I was fresh out of college, all there were
fresh
were,
out.
You could either go to a nightclub or you could message husky women on MySpace. Those were the two options.
Ew. I remember, you know, when you would just always, when you would just message girls on like MySpace or like Facebook, you would have like a shit ton of little chats opened up, or like AIM, like those things.
AIM was great.
Like, do you have an AIM? And you would get like a girl's AIM at school, and you're like, oh my God, I have her AIM.
I used to come up with really edgy AIMs, like Candy Ass Yankee. And Bartman Begins.
Bartman Begins. It's fucking gay as hell.
I know. Speaking of the gay, if you wanted to get any action done, you'd have to use like an Iowa truck stop bathroom like Tinder. That would be...
Some man will stumble out of there.
Like, can you imagine trying to pick a guy to fuck you based off of the color of his shoes?
Color of his shoes?
God.
That's just insane.
I empathize for the gays of yesteryear.
Yeah. No, now, dude, gay guys are, like, begging left and right. It's easier for them to get laid than... Actually, maybe it's,
It must be nerve-wracking, though, if you're closeted and you're on, like, a gay dating website.
Yeah.
I don't understand why. I don't know if that shit is public.
Like, all these new, like, all these apps and all these sites are... It's making, like, almost, like, person-to-person contact when you're trying to, like, hook up. I've noticed it's getting like, well, maybe it's the same. I haven't done it in a while. I haven't like actually like went out and then I'm like, oh, I'm going to go see if I can pick up this chick. Because that's what I used to do. Now I'm just like, I'll just do this shit online. Like, I'm just lazy. Like, I can stay in home, fucking lay in bed and try to talk to this bitch. I don't have to get dressed, put on my fucking cologne.
Well, hey, now we don't consider them bitches. We don't call women bitches.
Oh, I fucking apologize. I still like it, going like person to person. You could dress nice, put on some fucking cologne, get out there and be like, see what I can catch. And I'll not. Actually, you know what? No, I don't like it. I don't like waiting until 3 a.m. to try to get this drunk fucking asshole away from her friends. And then if it's, oh God.
You must really be wooing these girls, calling them drunken assholes.
I'm not talking about that.
Okay.
The Mike of yesteryear would just go to pubs and just get fucking...
Yeah, fucking 14-year-old Mike, the beard in Poland.
18-year-old Mike. The best thing, the best move I ever seen, I mean, this is for me. This is speaking for me and like not... I mean, I bet there was other great moves. I mean, there obviously are, but this is like whatever. Like these three girls walked into a hookah bar that my friend Willie and I were staying at. By the way, I'm 17. Willie is 34. That's my
that's
my
a very
friend.
Questionable friendship you have.
That's
there.
My friend Willie. Okay.
Yeah, friends.
He was like my chaperone, if you might want to say. And this hookah bar is full. It's like a hip hookah bar. Like all the university students would come in it after my class or whatever. And then we have a booth, and then three hot fucking girls walk in, just like my age, and just hot as hell. And then they're talking to the, you know, the hostess or whatever, the host, and they're like, oh, there's no more booths, blah, blah, blah. And then Willie jumps up out of nowhere and just says, oh, excuse me, ladies, you guys need a place to sit. We have a booth right here. We got room right here. And then they came in and they sat with us, and we're two Americans in a town where there's not that many Americans, and just fucking click.
Okay, we got to call up Magnus Irvin, like, right now. I got to find his number.
Hello.
Hi, Magnus. Welcome to Shooting It. How's it going?
Not bad. Yourself?
I'm doing pretty good. Let me introduce you to my co-host right now, Mike Malkiewicz. He's a stand-up comic from Jersey. Mike, meet Magnus.
Hi, Magnus. How you doing?
Hi, Mike. I'm pretty good. Yourself?
I could always be better.
Oh, okay. Yes. We can do to help.
Yeah.
Yes.
So Magnus, that's a very interesting name. Is that your real name or is that like a pseudonym or something? Because Mike's real name is Mike Torsodeg, but he goes by Malkievich.
It's not Torsodeg.
Whatever. It's the same thing. But it's a cool name.
Yeah, it's all right. It does me. I get by on it.
We got to get right into things. You know, your business is quite unique, I have to say.
Yeah, it's fairly unusual.
When did you get this jump started initially? Actually, we should probably explain. Mike, you want to do the honors?
Explain what his company is?
Yeah, unless you would rather do it yourself, Magnus.
Yeah, I don't mind. Well, at the moment, the company's called Edible Anus. And for 7 or 8 years, we've been producing boxes of chocolates, which are made from a real cast of an anus. In each box, there are 3 chocolates, a white one, a brown one, and a black one. But more recently, we've gone into making bespoke castings of individuals' anuses. And these are not in the form of chocolate. These are made in metal. The last one we did was a bronze one, and it had a diamond set into the center of the anus.
Oh, wow.
So the business has changed over the years. But it's still producing the chocolates.
Yeah.
Oh, and cards. We do cards as well.
So when did you get this started?
I'd say about 7 or 8 years ago, because I'm an artist, and I don't know where the idea came from, really. It just came out of the ether, like artistic ideas do. And I thought it'd be great to make a proper life-size casting of an anus and then make the sculpture in chocolate. So it was a sculptural idea, really. And it probably would have stayed that way. I had an exhibition, and I exhibited in a shop window as well. I put a lot of them in different boxes, different shapes, different chocolates, and that went down pretty well. Then this fellow come along and he said he'd like to turn it into something a bit more business orientated, and we become friends, and that's how it stands now.
Very cool. So
who's
oh, go ahead, Mike.
If you don't mind me asking, who's like the first casting or the first mold? Whose asshole was it? Like whose was it? Was it your own, yeah, or was it like colleague of some sort?
Well, I tried to do my own. I waited until everyone had gone out and went in the kitchen. Because to do it, you have to use alginate. It's a casting material. It's the same stuff dentists use when they do a mold of your teeth. You know,
right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a non-toxic stuff that sets very quickly. Water-based. So I got on the floor and I put, got my trousers off, put my knees either side of my head with me butt facing the ceiling, and I poured this stuff up my ass, and I thought my ass was in a sort of a recess, but it's sort of in a valley, and it all ran out past me nuts into my face. It was a sort of a disaster. It was all stuck everywhere.
Oh, was it hot or was it cold or...
No, it's cold. It's just a cold. Ooh. It's just a sort of powder made from seaweed, and you mix it with water. But when you get stuck in your hair and everything, it's pretty tough to get out.
Fuck.
Yeah, I can imagine.
I realized I needed someone else's with someone else.
So, lovely volunteer.
I met someone at a bus stop. That's just the strangest part of the story.
A bus stop.
I was at a bus stop and bounced around Green Road and. You know, like you do, you're just talking to people at the bus stop. And this woman said to me, oh, so what are you doing? And I told her, and she said, I'll help you. And she did.
Oh, my God, how polite.
Well, there you go. Fuck.
Yeah, well, there's some brave people around, I've discovered.
Oh, God.
I mean, clearly, yeah.
It was like the worst volunteer you ever had. Was it just, like, awful, and you just, like, we cannot make this mold because you need to be clean. You need to be properly cleansed.
No, but I think I was lucky on the first one, but we've only needed one, you see. We've only needed one good mold to make all of the chocolates from. So the work since then, that in terms of the individual's asses, I do request they wash them, and then I get them to apply a bit of Vaseline, and then it's pretty straightforward.
Mm. Your interest initially was more in just like the general, I guess, shape and texture of that region rather than, say, chocolate. That's what got you into it.
Yeah, it was an art idea. You know, I saw it as a sculptural thing, and I thought it was funny, and I thought it had a poetic twist, you know, the combination. Because people say to me, oh, why don't you do penises and vaginas? But there's just something about the, you know, the anus and chocolate. It makes sense.
Yeah, it's universal.
Why use chocolate to make any other body parts? They're fun, yeah, but I don't think I want to spend time doing that.
Yeah, I hear you. And it also, you just, I don't know, almost like aesthetically, if you see like a Hershey Kiss or something, or just like a little chocolate, whatever, it all kind of like goes in line with that, I think. I don't know.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, sometimes people open the box of chocolates and they're not quite sure what this thing is that's facing them. You know, there's three little things that look like puckered up lips, and it takes a little while for the penny to drop sometimes.
So you've seen enough assholes and recreated them in chocolate form. Are they all different, or have you come across one that's like, all right, that's exactly the same, that's exact,
like,
you know.
Like a thumbprint. Everyone right. is different.
This is what I said. You could probably, you could use it like iris identification, because they are all different.
Interesting.
I mean, remarkably, I think you probably read futures in them. It's like a palm of a hand.
Like some sort of Turkish coffee.
What?
That's right. You've got it. Coffee. Yeah, well, the way the tea leaves settle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
How long does the process take to actually mold it and recreate it?
Oh, it's very quick. It takes, you know, the alginate sets in a minute. So really, from beginning to end, if things go smoothly, it's less than 10 minutes.
Hmm.
Because once you've got the alginate, you see, the alginate is the only bit that ever touches the person's backside. So once that's set, you peel it out, and the person's not necessary anymore, because from that, you make a plaster mold. And once you've got that plaster mold, you can cast it in anything. Yeah. It's simple. It's just ordinary casting technique that a lot of students would have learned at art college, but it's just a bit more personal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To say the least. So
yeah,
I want to know.
Taught me to do that at college.
How long did it take for this business to kind of actually catch on? I just started hearing about this like this past year around Valentine's Day. Like that's when a lot of people started.
I heard it as of recently as well.
Yeah. Well, what happened was the business has been, it's just a steady business. I wouldn't say there's a huge amount of sales, although it's international, but as a part of a promotional campaign, I cast the anus of a cover girl from Bizarre magazine. It's a British magazine, which deals in the bizarre, obviously, and they sent around one of their gorgeous cover girls. I did her anus, and they filmed it, and this little film on the internet's gone viral. And that's where this sudden interest has come from. You know, all of a sudden, everything's sold out.
Jesus. I want to fucking buy one, too. But I saw one. Do you have it was like a silver mold of one or something.
Yeah, we've done them in silver.
I was like,
So you can buy other people's? You don't necessarily have to get it exclusive to your own?
No, you could just say, I want an anus. We'll use the same mold as we use for the chocolates, maybe.
Oh.
I want to buy like a set of gold and a set of silver and put them on a chessboard. That's what I always wanted.
Well, go for it. Yeah, God, that'd be nice, wouldn't it? Well, they make great pawns.
If I ever make it in this comedy business, that's all I'm going to buy for friends and family. Because I am absolutely interested in that. I saw the article, we're giggling and stuff, and I think I was the only one out of like, I saw it like at work. And out of all my coworkers, I was the only one who was like, I think I would like one. I was quite interested.
Wait. Yeah, it's not everybody who wants one, but thank goodness one in every so many does. I think you've got one. Elton John's got one.
And, yes, one.
Yeah, he's got a silver one. An animatronic, you know, from the Scissor Sisters. there's a few celebs taking them up.
Oh, wow. So is this your primary business, or do you operate in other fields as well to make a profit?
No, I'm primarily an artist, and I make, I've just had an exhibition in New York, strangely. I'm only back from New York for 3 days.
Oh, wow.
A small exhibition, but mainly I make money out of painting for scenery for theaters. You know, I paint backdrops.
Oh, cool.
Big canvases.
Yeah, I used to do something like that back in school. I would take that up. Yeah, I was one of the carpenters, but I also doubled in art. So I would build like a lot of structures and then have a hand in actually, you know, coloring and painting these backgrounds for plays and whatnot.
Yeah, yeah. You know what I'm talking about then. It can just be structures or it can be big canvases that hang at the back of the stage.
Yeah.
So that's probably the, that allows me to do what I want in the art and the rest of the time.
Very cool.
Yeah, I'm quite happy being an artist. I like it.
I wish I was better at it. I'm a writer by trade, and I never quite mastered illustration and whatnot as well as I would have liked, but it's definitely something I've dabbled into.
But
you've got a radio station.
I'm absolutely awful at art. I always tried buying canvases, and I was like, let me create something. It just went to shit. It looked like finger paint. But I have dated and gone with a lot of artists, so I can appreciate it. So that's it.
I stick to comedy.
Yeah, I know. I'll just stick to fucking telling dick jokes on stage and getting my money and leaving.
Yeah.
You're probably really good at that.
Yeah, that's...
Don't bother with the painting.
No, I'll stay away from that. I'll just go with what I know.
Mm. Mm. Now, have you ventured into other artistic mediums as well?
Yeah, loads. I make films and books.
Really? You make films?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I was working on today. I was making a 20-minute film. I'll send it to some festivals when it's done.
Mike and I actually just got done doing primary shoots for a movie I directed called Practice Makes Perfect a while back. We actually got to do a little bit more on that like next month or the month after because we had an issue with one of the drives that we were storing all the footage on. That's definitely a very trying medium out of all the artistic ones, I find. I tend to work better when it comes to like individual work. With that, you have to rely on other people. It just gets a little messy. It's fun. It's definitely enjoyable, but oof.
It's quite expensive.
Yes, it is very expensive.
Takes a lot of time, and you have to spend money, and then it all goes wrong.
Story of our lives.
You got to try. You got to keep trying.
Yeah, exactly.
I just get like full-fledged 5-paragraph essays from Jamie via text. Just sent to me about the film, like, we need to do this, we have to do that. And oh my God, just freaking out.
So what do you do? You're running a radio program, are you? Or an online program?
Yeah, an online show. And I have a hand in running the network, which consists of like 8 other shows. And we just put them out on a week-by-week basis, usually interviewing famous, semi-famous people, or just interesting people in general. Yeah.
Okay.
And we've been doing that for about...
You're in Boston, aren't you?
Yeah.
Jamie's in Boston, and I'm in New Jersey.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I know where you are.
Now, have you traveled to the U.S. outside of New York in the past?
Yeah, I've been in Boston, and I've been in Atlanta, and I don't know, Washington, California. I've not been in the middle. I've only been on the edges.
There's nothing in the middle. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, I don't think you're missing much there.
It's a lot of corn.
I've been told the edges are better.
Yeah, totally are.
So have you been directing films in the past as well, or is this just your first one that you have working on?
No, long one. About 15 years.
Hmm. Now, are these like experimental?
I make them on Super 8 now.
Oh, cool.
No, they have narratives. They're Super 8. They have a sort of a narrative, but they're quite sort of moody and oddly funny, I like to think.
Something like, say...
Yeah, they're meant to be funny.
Yeah, in vein of maybe like a Robert Downey Sr. type.
Possibly. I mean, have a look on the Vimeo site. There's a Vimeo site under my name. There's probably 7 or 8 films there.
Oh, cool. Well, we'll send out a link then. Do you know the title of the Vimeo site off the top of your head? Is it just Magnus Irvin?
Well, I mean, if you log into Vimeo and put in Magnus Irvin, you'll find the films.
Oh, there you go.
If you get fed up with the films, you can log into edibleanus.com.
And get yourself an anus.
And if you Google bronze casting anus, you get this really weird video. And I've noticed online there are videos of the video now, people talking about it. it's gone quite interestingly bonkers.
Yeah, the more people talk about it, the better that is for your business.
Yeah,
that's good.
Well, I think so, but it's quite nice just to get it out there. I'm not too concerned about and making loads of money. I just think it's good that people get this other side of the coin. People get so used to normal, predictable shit on the internet. It's good to see something that's truly different.
Yeah. Stands out. It's more interesting. It's fun. It's just a lot more fun.
Oh, well, life can be a bit predictable if you just stick to the mass media. They don't let anything out that's not normal.
Oh, yeah. We know all about just routine, safety netted, boring people that we can't stand. We've gone on rants plenty of time on the show about that.
Good for you.
We appreciate people who are in the arts, let's say, and just people who have drive and ambition that stand out from the crowd and want to actually make something of their lives as opposed to just standing in line with the rest of them.
Good for you. Let your program be a flagship for those people.
Exactly. Well, I mean, that's the goal anyway, but so what kind of packages does your website offer? Again, edibleanus.com. Like what can they buy on the store?
Well, you can buy chocolates, of course. You could order anuses in metal, you know, the ones we talked about.
Yeah.
You can order poo cards, which are a range of cards that are rather disgustingly funny.
I saw those too.
Face flannels. With a word on that I can't repeat, especially in the States. I think it's acceptable in England, but it's quite a...
Oh, cunt?
Not a very... Yeah, that's the one.
All right.
Oh, no. That is...
Well, there's a whole range of flannels. Yeah, well, the face flannels, you know, the thing you sort of put a towel in, you wash your face, they'd be embroidered just with the word cunt face. Once again, I think that's a sort of poetry going on.
Oh my God, I kind of want to buy one of those.
I really do right now, too.
Do you ship to the US?
Okay, just check it out. There's other things on there. As I say, I don't do the website. It's my partner who does all that, and he's, you know, he keeps it up to date.
That's awesome.
There might be other things on it I don't even know about.
Oh, man.
Gotta take a look more into that.
Oh, definitely. Mike, did you have any other questions?
We pretty much covered them all. Like, some of them that you said were mine. Like, Jamie always tells me before a guest, he's like, come up with some questions, and I always ignore him. But for you, I was like, I have to fucking know everything.
Oh, you have questions. Yeah, good. Yeah, well, it helps. Otherwise, I can just talk about it. But it's nicer to have questions. It's a good bit of direction, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Just in the plan. But Jamie pretty much covered them all that I might be thinking about.
I'm also kind of interested in knowing, like, what you were doing beforehand, like before this whole thing kind of took off. Like, you mentioned that you were an artist, so like up to a certain point before you even stumbled upon this idea and turned it into a business, like what were you doing then?
I was mainly making sculptures out of cardboard, big sculptural things out of cardboard, and I was still making films then, you know. I was working on films then. It's a bit hard to say because I work in a lot of different media.
Mm-hmm.
I've been making huge cakes in the shape of people, naked people. And that started a long while ago, so I was probably making cakes then as well.
Oh, wow. Maybe
the chocolate anuses came after the cakes.
Yeah, they kind of...
Like confectionery.
They tie in together.
Yeah, you know, they're both edible. They're both made of nice stuff, cake and icing sugar and all that.
Chocolate.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's what I was doing. And I expect if you phone me in 10 years, I'll still be doing it.
You don't think you'll move on to something else by then within that vein?
Yeah. That's,
chocolate
you never
cunts.
Know. Who knows? Who knows?
Oh, my God.
I'm excited for whatever comes next. I mean, I'm sold on the anuses. And I want like 10 of them in my house immediately.
Well, go on. You know where to go. You can
just edibleanus.com. You do them. Plug that again.
I'll make them. We'll post them.
How much do the, like you said, you do gold and like silver and jewelry-esque anuses as well. How much does that usually range for?
Well, I think the one that we did recently, a one-off that was bronze with a gemstone, and it was £1,200, which makes it about $1,800.
Jeez.
Oh, wow. But an ordinary silver one, I think that's about £100, $150, something like that.
Mm.
Probably a bit less. I think they're less. So it depends. If you want to go really sort of personalized, which means you'll have it cast of your own or your girlfriend's anus or something, or you buy off the shelf one that was, you know, the anus we talked about, the woman at the bus.
Yeah, yeah.
And you get a box of chocolates. I think you get 5 boxes for about $30, something like that.
Oh, that's not bad. Well, considering how unique it is, yeah. I do also want to know, like, what is your male to female ratio like in terms of having cast done?
Oh, it's about equal.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah, yeah, really, yeah. Yeah, about equal. And occasionally couples will want theirs done, you know, a couple.
Well, that's a good way to spend Valentine's Day.
That's what I would do. Hell, yeah. Shit. And if she has a problem with it, then she's not my girlfriend anymore.
Oh, boy. Well, I think we're good for today.
It's been nice talking to you.
Absolutely, yes. Magnus. Thank you again for doing the show. Yeah, it's just fascinating, man. If you want to throw out your website or any other plugs you want to do real quick before we wrap up, feel free. The floor is yours.
Well, there's the edible anus one. There's my personal site, magnusirving.com. That's my own artworks. I think that's about it. There's another one, poocards.co.uk. That's the cards we mentioned. They're quite fun. They're great fun.
I can only imagine.
Yeah, check them out. They're funny.
All right.
I saw one of like Santa Claus. I was like, I want to get that one.
No, I'm definitely checking out the online store as soon as we're done here.
Go for it. And you know, if you want to call again or talk or email me, please feel free.
Absolutely. All right.
Yes.
Thanks again, Magnus. I really appreciate it. Have a great night.
Thank you.
All right. Good luck to you, and good luck with the program.
Take care, man.
Okay, mate. Bye bye.
Bye.
And that was Magnus Irvin, founder of edibleanus.com. Whew.
That was cool.
That was cool.
That was very cool. He's laid back. He's nice.
Yes, very laid back. I think that was the first time we've ever had like a proper
interview.
Interview. Yeah.
Today feels like a good show.
Well, you know why? It's because we're not having it at 10 p.m. We've actually slept a bit. You know, it's fucking early in the day.
I'm all ready. I got my room is clean.
I'm not like, I got to fucking.
I feel good. We got the rest of the day for the, yeah.
No,
I feel good. Today feels good. We have the rest of the day. We wrapped up an interview.
There's sunshine.
Magnus is cool as shit, dude. I fucking, you know, I should have asked him more about his fucking artwork. Maybe he wanted that more, his artwork out more.
Well, I mean, they can go to the website. They can go to magnusirvin.com and check out his artwork.
And also his films, his Vimeo films.
Yeah, I'm definitely interested in checking out what else this guy has to offer.
I am going to smoke and I'm going to watch all of Magnus's films. I do not care what if I'm interested in them or not. I want to watch them all. I just need to know. I'm interested in that.
Yeah. I think we're on a roll right now for 2015, back-to-back interesting guests. I think maybe we've met our niche, just having 40-year-old white guys on the show.
We just need fucking
middle-aged men.
Just people, just like he just said, when after I just said the fucking, you know, people with drive and ambition, he said, let this show be a flagship for people like that. And yeah, we should do that.
That's what we've been trying. Have 40 more alt-lit writers on.
Oh, they could fucking, alt-lit, I thought that was dead.
Oh, it is dead.
Good. How it should be. I could give a fuck.
You don't like alt-lit?
The truth comes out with Mike. No, why would I? I don't even read. I can barely even read like a joke that I wrote. But I do want to get back into reading. I saw this special of the show.
It's Reading Rainbow.
The Reading Rainbow with LeVar Burton.
Good old LeVar. He sent in his contribution some time ago.
Oh.
Yeah, that's all I'm going to say. Anyway, right. You were checking out a special.
The Anthony Bourdain show, Parts Unknown. Was it Parts Unknown? Yeah, I think. Was it Parts Unknown or was it? Yeah, no, it was Parts Unknown. Yeah, he was in Tangier. And he's talking about, what's this writer? I think I want to like read some of his books. Something Bowles. Do you know him?
No.
Since you write books?
No, I don't know him.
Something Bowles. He was a beatnik sort of writer. And
beatnik writer? What is it? Beatnik. It's like beatnik. A 60s beatnik? Someone who hangs out at a jazz club and wears
like the hipster of the 40s, 50s, and 60s, I guess.
Oh, hold on a second.
Isn't that what a beatnik is? Also, the jazz guy.
Maybe the 50s and 60s. Back in the 40s, you were, I don't know. Anyway, moving on.
Bohemian. Anyway.
No, bohemian was like a 90s term.
No.
80s, 90s term.
Bohemian
yes.
was like a 20s term.
I mean, it might have been as well, but it was popularized in the late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah. Nah, I was watching Boardwalk Empire, and they were like very bohemian.
Well, it's always been bohemian. A word in the English language. That doesn't mean shit.
Well, you're shit. City is shit. Your city is frozen. You're late to work every day. Go die.
It's just mean.
I know. That was just like very mean-spirited.
It's cruel. Get to your fucking point. Come on. I want to read Anthony Bourdain.
I want to read his shit. The guy, he was like a homosexual. He was like a heroin addict. He was like a writer. I want to read some of his stuff. Something Bowles. I forgot. William H. Bowles? Paul Bowles? I don't know.
Paul Bowles.
I forgot who it was. Or was it maybe it was a different guy. I don't fucking know. He spent time in Tangier.
It was Stephen King.
Tangier, Morocco. If anyone knows, send me a message on Twitter.
I wish I came up with more
thousands
questions.
Of listeners a week. And I plug my shit, and I get nothing in return. I think I got
no,
two.
We were kind of like, we were struggling for a while with the episodes. We weren't doing so hot. After that Shooting It Live special, even though that was pretty popular for a video special, that kind of, well, actually, to be honest with you, we were in a bit of a rough spot as of, I think, a little bit before Christmas Eve. Because we had taken time off after, I think, the second shoot of Practice Makes Perfect finished, where I was doing shows with Kenny for a while. You weren't really doing any at all. Like, you took a 10-week nap. We eventually stopped that because, of course, his kid was born.
Mm-hmm.
And there was
no... And boom, Mike comes back, show's back in order.
Yeah.
There you go. See what it is?
I mean, I was doing shows with Kenny. We were averaging, I think, about 2,000 listeners an episode. And that was good. That actually was a bit of a comeback from when you did a string of episodes.
Word.
Yeah. And then Kenny took off. I didn't do a show for a while. I did one show just as like an update in mid to late December. And then I did a Christmas Eve episode. And I think we resumed doing them in what? Like mid-January?
I guess so. I don't even fucking remember.
I don't know. Who knows? And then we did the Shooting Live special.
January, because I got broken up with on New Year's Eve. And then I remember talking about that on the show.
That was almost 2 months ago.
I know.
That's crazy.
I know.
Aging too quickly.
Time is time is fucking flying.
Yeah.
And I'm actually probably going to, since, you know, this, well, my tax return is going to be quite large.
Not to tell tales out of school, but I heard Kenny, thanks to his child, made quite a hefty amount this year. Yeah. I, on the other hand, I made a good $450.
I was going to get back.
Getting back together with your ex?
Oh, God.
I'm proud that you didn't even consider that an option. Seriously, most guys would be like, oh, that's my go-to thing. That's plan number one. Backup plan is find some other girls. No, you handled it the right way. So,
I harbor no ill thoughts about her. I don't hate her. I don't like her.
The ideal feeling is no feeling at all. Just don't come to mind.
I'm fine. It's whatever.
Anyway, let's get out of that. And what were you going on about? Sorry.
I don't fucking know. Oh, how's Kenny doing?
He's got cancer. Acting.
I tried to let it breathe. I tried to let it pause. And just stupid Mike had to giggle like he always fucking does.
Kenny's been good. Kenny's been busy. He's been working at a new restaurant in Jamaica Plain. And he had an interview tomorrow, which I guess is not going to happen now because he really loves a certain type of plant. And that is not good if you're a working man where they test you for certain things. But, you know, it's all good at the end of the day. I was trying to get him on this episode as well because I don't think there's ever been a show aside from your first episode where it's been me, you, and Kenny.
Yeah.
That has never happened.
I think, that was the last thing. It was the interview with me.
The last time we talked, all three of us, was that very first appearance where you just you forced yourself onto the show and then forced yourself into the co-host position.
I didn't anything.
I was offered. No, bullshit. Hold on. Here. Well, it was offered after you were like, so when am I doing the show? It's like, well, I guess this week. Okay, we don't take guests, but all right.
That's how you do it. That's how you do it, Jamie. You got to force your way into things. You got to weasel your way in this business. This, if you want to get into entertainment, you got to push, push, and push. You have to pester and pester, and that's how you get shit done. Boom. Quote, that lit side, Mike Malcolm. Media mogul.
Social media mogul, Malkovich.
That's, no, media.
So I don't know. I'm trying to see when Kenny's next available, but I'm not guessing that it'll be anytime soon. Maybe shooting at 100. Who knows what's going to happen for that? Maybe a James Franco appearance. Maybe not. Probably not. Who knows? I don't know. It's crazy.
Never be happy again. Never, happy. Never be energetic.
I walk around fake. With a smile.
I want you to
23
be
hours fake, a day.
Smile like a little smirkish, vampiric Jamie, a Joy Division T-shirt. And black jeans and Doc Martens.
I walk around with my elbows bent and my hands elevated.
Just on the bus. On the fucking red line, leaning on like the, like where the door opens on the fucking train. Just leaning with your arms up like this.
I saw someone posted a picture of the set of Practice Makes Perfect. I think it might have been our cinematographer or his friend or something. And it was like day one. And I was in the picture, and I just had horrible fucking posture. I was like, oh, my God. I walk around like the letter
you
C.
You think you look bad? Oh, my God. All those pictures you posted on, like, Facebook that are, like, behind the scenes. I am the fattest fucking – no wonder my ex left me. I don't blame her one. But this is why I'm not mad at her. I would leave, too.
I've been hyper aware of my posture since then. Like, I walk around with my chest puffed out.
Yeah, I look fat as fuck.
It's really just the beard, to be honest with you.
No,
you have lost weight, as you have very willingly photographed for Tumblr and Twitter and every other social media platform. But back during filming, I mean, you were a little pudgy, okay? But that beard really added to it.
Yeah, maybe the beard did add to it, and also the pants I was wearing for Practice Makes Perfect. I put them on recently. And they're like loose. I know when I was putting them on then, they were literally fucking about to snap off. That's why I hated getting like dressed and tucking in my shirt because I fucking couldn't. They were too fucking small.
I remember during the second shoot, you showed up after being in a panic, having missed the train or the bus or whatever that I got for you. You're like, oh, fuck. I thought I lost weight. And like the pants were apparently tighter around you.
Oh, fucking tighter.
Yeah,
it's just the worst.
Oh man.
You know how you said in the movie, like, you get fat and you're less funny. I've been coming up with a lot more. I don't want to get skinny. I want to get toned. I want to get back to 18-year-old Mike.
Now this isn't going to be like a Seth Rogen period where it's like, oh, he's skinny. Oh, he's fat again.
No.
Jonah Hill.
No, God, no. I plan on keeping this. What, Jonah Hill got fatter?
Well, he put weight on. Since he got skinny, he's evened out. There's, you know, if you're a fat guy for most of your life or whatever, or just a long period of time where people get used to that image and then you lose weight, you'll look fucking weird. Like Jonah Hill, he's supposed to be fat, in my opinion.
Yeah, right now, I am no one, so my image doesn't fucking I don't matter. I can be fat, I can be really skinny, it doesn't fucking matter. I don't know, I feel good, so that's the reason why I want to keep doing it, because I feel good.
Well, there you go.
There you go. I'm still, you know, fucking, the depression is still there. Let's not get me wrong. No, I'm not going to beat around the bush. That's still there. But as far as, like, I don't know. I feel good.
When we return to shoot in April, it's just going to be fucking, like, 50 Cent when he was playing an AIDS patient.
I know. It's going to be like,
Paul got HIV, and that's why he...
But then as soon as I take off my shirt, people are like, yo, who dat?
That's always going to happen, though, if you lose weight. Like, you're going to have, I think, for the most part, the same general form of the upper body where it's like, fatty areas. Because that's how it was when I lost a lot of weight. I was 130 pounds, but I still had, like, little itty-bitty tits and a little stomach, you know? It's just, it's almost impossible unless you focus on those areas.
My tits are shrinking.
Well, yeah, I mean, that does happen. You got to lift a lot of weights. You got to do...
That's what I do. I do...
That'll iron them out.
Got the tricep and that pectoral machine where you push something. That shit helps me out. That's fun. I like my routine when I go, and like some people are like, you're doing it wrong.
People actually go up to you and they say that?
Yeah.
That's so fucking obnoxious. Yeah. That's the number one reason why I hate gyms. People who feel the need to go over and try and correct other people's workout or whatever.
It's like, no, look, I have it down to a routine and it's fucking working. So what are you going to, how am I doing it wrong if it's fucking working, asshole? We go in, we play racquetball for like maybe half hour. It's like a warm up, loosen up a little bit. And we get into it too. Like we're fucking after we're done. Oh God.
It sounded like you were fucking after you were done.
No. After racquetball, we run for like a mile. I used to not be able to do a mile. Now I do a little bit more than a mile, which is good. So I run that. I always try to push myself, try to get farther and farther each time. Then after that, we go lift. I do biceps, and then I do the and then I do some pull-ups. I do three sets of biceps, three sets of like the pull-up things, and then I do the tricep pectoral thing. And now they just got a punching bag, and then I go back to that punching bag and just relive my Taekwondo days. I try to teach my friend how
to. You should show up in a white robe.
Yes, I try to teach my friend how to punch properly. He punched the punching bag and he was almost broke his fucking wrist. And I was like, "You're gonna kill yourself."
Do you make him call you sensei?
No, I make him. I hurt him if he fucks up. I like make him like he has to like kind of curve his fist and he's not knowing how to do it.
The snow's just finally starting to melt around here, so I'm gonna start hitting the gym very soon. I've been giving myself some prep. I've been doing sit-ups. Been running in place quite often.
Just lift.
I have nothing to lift around here. I have nothing.
You don't have any weights? Literally have a 20-pound weight. That's all I have.
If I wanted to lift something, it would have to be like a crate, like a fucking 100-pound box of Christmas lights or something.
Christmas lights, like a dad.
Yeah. I mean, I started checking out Charles Bronson's, aka Michael Peterson's, not the actor Charles Bronson.
Yes,
he has a book out that he wrote from prison. And it's like how to lose weight and get in shape using just yourself and I think like a stool or something. I forget what it fucking is. Like a bar.
I got it was an animal.
Yeah, he's fucking crazy. And
fucking just, animal. Yeah. I used to lift up. We have salt in our basement, like bags of salt for like the water thing. I don't know. And they were like 40 pounds and I would lift them. That was my thing. I literally was like this Russian farm boy lifting like bags in the basement like, ugh, ugh. Mm-hmm. Work like triceps and shit like that.
Oh my god.
I also used to do like you can do 100 push-ups a day. You can just do like, you know, as many as you can do, then take a break for like X amount and then do as many as you can do again. And that really helped me a lot.
I hate push-ups. I hate push-ups. I hate sit-ups. Okay, chin-ups. That's okay.
I'm not ready yet. Whatever.
Yeah. I feel like such a pudgy piece of shit though, just from all the time I've spent indoors eating. Like, 90% of the food I've eaten has been of the frozen variety, just because I haven't been able to go food shopping. So it's just like sodium and laying around on the couch, and just it's a bad combination of things.
Beautiful.
And on top of that, I haven't been able to shave, and I haven't been able to give myself a haircut or anything like that because of movie number two. I'm trying to see how much I can grow out right now, just in terms of facial hair. This hair on top of my head, it's going to take a while in order to gain.
What are you, an old man? Fucking let it grow. There's like hair, there's certain foods you can just eat, like vegetables and shit.
I mean, vegetables will make my hair grow.
I don't know. It's a very motherly thing to say.
I'll go get like a crew cut and then I'll eat fucking 50 vegetables the day before filming.
Get a crew cut.
A nice crew cut, yeah.
I would go to the mall and I would get a haircut by a Vietnamese man. And he would sit me down in his chair, put his hands on my shoulders, and he leaned in. I'm sorry, it's kind of hard for me.
Edibleanus.com.
I'm fucking done. I don't want to keep doing this. This fucking mic is gonna crap out every fucking 5 minutes.
I went to a Vietnamese barber once and I was like, I'll take a regular, and I wound up getting a mushroom, a bowl cut.
Ew, what the how old were you?
I was about 8. So when I showed up to school,
I was about 18.
Yes, I was 28 years old. No, and I showed up to school the following day it was not a good day.
Oh, you looked like you were in the retarded class or some shit.
No, those, I mean, bowl cuts were pretty popular back then, but I didn't know. That was...
I think I might have had one, but I had, like, beautiful blonde hair, and I was this beautiful-looking Aryan child, and I became this fucking...
Mongrel.
This market stand fucking bizarre.
By the way, you put up on Tumblr, I obviously it was a joke, but you referred to yourself as racially ambiguous. And I was just like, no, there's nothing racially ambiguous about you.
Are you serious? Everybody at work, no one knows who I am or like what I am. Even customers, they don't know what I am. I swear to God, I have people.
What you wanted to use, the word that would have been proper in that sentence, ethnically ambiguous. You are very white. There's nothing about you that doesn't say white except... No, oh, well, there's everything
white. I'll just use that one, ethnically.
There you
go.
I don't
know. I thought, listen, you know I don't read.
That's your English lesson of the day.
I just definition racially ambiguous. And I was like, hey, that kind of sounds like what people are saying when they say, what is you? To my face all the time. So I'll just go with ethnically ambiguous.
There you go.
There you go.
All right. Why don't we just wrap up the show?
Watch this. Didn't even record.
Every other word is choppy. Just
you can't hear Magnus.
I'm gonna call him back up. Hey, do you want to just? Can we talk to you for another?
Do another one at 5 p.m. I would not. I would say no. I was like, that was a good interview.
That's the end of it. That's it. We do have. Well,
it's dead.
Yeah, that's the end of the show.
Episode 100. That's the surprise.
we're actually gonna kill ourselves on air. It's just going to be a snuff film.
You're going to hear fucking Jamie load a revolver, clock it into place, pull the trigger. You're going to hear a cat and Amy yell in the background. Oh, my God.
That was the cat.
Yes.
Our next guest, whenever we do that, I think it'll be early March. I might do a filler show in between just to meet the mark. Hey. We're going to have yet another middle-aged man. Three in a row. We're going to end the show here with a happy birthday to five-time Shooting It guest, Christoph Paul. So, happy birthday, Christoph.
Awesome.
Okay, do you have any plugs you want to throw out right before?
Yeah, you can follow
me. We cut the Joy Division.
@ Mike Malkovich, MalkiWycz. Malkovich on Tumblr, MalkiWycz. Instagram, Mike.Malkovich, MalkiWycz. And on Snapchat, it's M Malkovich, one word. M Malkovich, two M's. There you go. Follow me.
When are you going to register Malkievich.com?
I'm going to. When are you going to register on a certain website?
What? I don't fucking know, man.
I'm fucking.
All right, you're burnt out already.
Marijuana was just legalized in Washington, D.C. There's your update. This just in.
Did you legalize it? What?
No, it's I just got a text message. It said marijuana is now legalized in Washington, D.C. So there you go. Our nation's capital has marijuana right now.
Oh, this is it's an outrage is what it is. All the politicians are going to be smoking dope now. I can't believe this.
Those reefer madness dopers.
We need to annex Washington, D.C. from the United States.
Anyone
I can't allow this.
There's an asshole.
Speaking of assholes, edibleanus.com.
Check out his Vimeo. Type in Magnus Irving, right?
Irvin. No G at the end. Just Irvin.
Magnus Irvin.
Like, well, I was going to say like Irvine Welsh, but there's an E in that. No. JamieCorrellis.com is going to be up at some point in the not-so-distant future. But until then, you can find me at what the fuck is that? Stop that. You're getting banned from the show the next time you do that. Banned, I tell you. Twitter.com/JamieCorrellis. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook.com/ShootingItPod. Right now, we have a, not like a poll, but we're kind of testing the waters a little bit to get some listener input on maybe what should be done for episode 100 to commemorate the series. Now, Mike and I have talked about certain ideas. Kenny and I have also talked about certain ideas, but we're just going to see what you guys think. So sound off on the comments section and let us know.
Make sure you write a witty way of telling us to kill ourselves.
Well, on that note, that's the end of the show for this week. Tune in next week where we might have a show. We might not have a show, but if we don't have a show, do not panic.
Maybe Mike might call in from Florida. You never know.
Florida Mike. Florida Miami Mike. Mike Malkiewicz.
No, phone again.
Special guest, Miami Mike.
Miami Mike, Wolfgang in Miami. Wait, no, Wolfman. Wolfgang. Oh, fuck, we're done.
You suck.
Oh, we're done.
All right, that's it. Take care, folks.
Goodbye, everybody.
3-5-0-1-2-5-0. I was there in the backstage. Weapons like came around. I grew up not a changeling. But when the first time around, I could see all the weakness. I could pick all the balls.